You are listening to a sermon by Rebecca Stanley, recorded on Sunday, January 17, 2010, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
It is great to be here this morning with you. There are some in the midst of Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship that have been a great support to us over the last 2 years. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I appreciate being able to come and to tell you a little bit about our story. And that's mainly what you will hear from me this morning, the story of how God brought our family back to Vancouver, particularly to the UBC Dunbar neighborhoods, and how he's formed a new faith community called Urban Journey. I will try to keep sweeping directions here. It's hard to see you all from this place, but it's my prayer that as you hear some of our story and as you encounter some of our community values, that you will be both encouraged as part of this story and challenged as you think of the days and the years to come. We have just read Micah 6:8, which says, "He has showed you, O humanity, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This verse has become a compass for our family, a life verse which reflects both the heart of God and our desire to follow in His ways. More than anything, it speaks of the posture that we wish to take as we pursue loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. I wish I had more time to tell you some of my own personal story. I was actually born here in Vancouver, and I'm the second of four children. My father was a music pastor, mainly in the Alliance. His name's Phil Genyon. Some of you may know him as a musician. And my mom worked as a teacher and then was also at home with us in our early years. I met Andrew in Jerusalem, of all places, on Mount Zion. So whenever he's mad at me, I can say, "Hey, God gave you to me on Mount Zion." So that is a story in itself. And if you're interested in that, I can tell you about that later. But I did live in Jerusalem for 4 months during my undergrad studies at Trinity Western. And that's where Andrew and I met. And you've heard that we now have three kids that are all in school. About 3.5 years ago, we had a traumatic season in our life where Andrew experienced a complete burnout while serving as a worship pastor in a large church in the valley. I began to work at Columbia Bible College while Andrew was unable to, and I absolutely loved working with young adults as a mentor, teacher, and a friend to them. At the time, I was also finishing up my master's in pastoral ministries at the MB Seminary at Axe in Langley, knowing that as the last of our children entered elementary school, there would be more time, more space for me to live and serve as a pastor myself. I don't know if there really is more time once they head to school, but that was the thought. As we sought healing over the next few months and faced our own inadequacies, God began to stir new dreams in our hearts. And yet this time, we felt as if we were dreaming with a limp. No longer feeling like we had all the answers and could change the world, but instead more humbly aware of our limitations and of God's greatness. To make a long story short, while we thought we may end up overseas, God led us to Vancouver, back to where I was born, back to where my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents all served for many decades, back to where we had in fact started as a couple in ministry a decade earlier at Bethany Baptist Church. Our family landed in the Dunbar neighborhood as church planters with the heart to also work with students at UBC. There are many miracles that have taken place over the last 2 years as God has provided abundantly, financially, with friendships, and with favor in the life of our neighborhood. Our children attend Jules Quinnell, just up the street from here, behind Lord Bing, and also Queen Elizabeth Annex. And over the last 2 years, we have just had a wonderful time becoming a part of the communities there at those schools. God has really granted us favor in developing a great village, as we call it, a village of people that we are raising our children with and people that we can live missionally in the midst of. In the fall of 2008, 16 months ago, Urban Journey began to meet in our living room. What began as our family of five, one other couple, and two CBC grads, has grown into a vibrant community of people that are committed to doing life together and also to sharing the love of God in our neighborhood. We are a missional church, meaning that we are focused on going out to people, that we are sent by God to walk with people on their spiritual journey, wherever they may be on that journey. We are also an incarnational community, meaning that we are committed to living deeply out the life and message of Jesus in relationships over the long haul, finding practical ways to flesh out the gospel. Along with the formation of this new faith community, God opened the doors less than a year ago for us to serve as the Mennonite Brethren chaplains at UBC. As we work with the BCMB conference and a team of people, including John Friesen, committed to walking with students during their studies at UBC, we recognize that we begin on a foundation already laid by many, including those here in this body that began and nurtured the ministry of the Menno Simon Center over the last 24 years. As official UBC chaplains, we work with the multi-faith UBC Chaplains Association, partnering with various campus chaplains. We participate in the Chaplains in Res program. I'm at Gage Towers every other Monday evenings, available to students. And we do other projects together with the chaplains on the campus. We also then have the freedom to minister to our Mennonite and MB students who attend UBC. As we fundraise for this new venture and prayerfully dream about what God intends for the coming years, we look forward to potentially partnering with the Menno Simon Center in some way as well. I'd love to take some time to share our Urban Journey core values with you. During this month of January, in this very place on Sunday evenings after our meal, we have been looking deeply into these values and what the scriptures have to say about them. About 15 kids and 25 adults are together asking God to etch these values deep into our hearts, not merely as we gather together, but on an everyday basis. Our community life is simple and uncluttered so that people have the time and space to be the church, to be God's people in their neighborhoods, families, and workplaces. It's my prayer that as we take a glance at our community's values, that God would speak to you in simple yet profound ways and relate this to your own life and community. Our first value is journey together. We believe that knowing and loving God is a lifetime journey and respect that people are at different places on this journey. While our journey with God is personal, it's not private. We were meant to walk together in community. It is our hope that we would be a safe place for people to explore faith and share life together. Our second core value, which we looked at last week, is everyday worship. We desire to live our everyday, ordinary lives as an act of worship. While worship through music and personal prayer times is important in our growth, we believe that we have the opportunity to worship God in every moment of every day, and that loving our neighbor as ourself is a key piece of what it means to worship God. We've already read Mark 12, verses 28 to 34, but I'd love to read that together again. This is, in fact, a surprising encounter that Jesus has with the Pharisee. So if you would like to take your Bibles or the sheet that you have, and let's just read this together. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, and so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Now, typically, we find Jesus criticizing the Pharisees because they keep missing the point. If we read just a few verses down from what we have read, we hear Jesus say this, "Beware of these teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property, and they pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished." So often we find Jesus criticizing the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They are obsessed with following the minutiae of the law, thinking that their sacrificial systems and legalistic lifestyles are what will make them pleasing before God. And here, we have a teacher of religious law understanding the basic premise of the kingdom of God, that it's all about loving God and loving your neighbor. God desires for us to worship him, to show him honor, by loving him wholeheartedly through our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies, and equally by loving our neighbor. This leads into our third core value, which is sacrificial living. It is evident throughout Scripture that the worship that God desires from us is not merely songs or prayers or rule following, but that it entails loving our neighbor. If we look back at Micah chapter 6, which we read together, we see that the words of verse 8 are spoken in a certain context. Here, just like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, but about 700 years earlier, some in Israel seem to have created a godliness checklist themselves. But after reminding them of the faithfulness of God during the time of Moses and of Joshua, he says this, "What shall we bring to the Lord? What kind of offerings shall we give him? Shall we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil, of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what is he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It's hard not to hear the echo of the words in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all of your heart and soul." The nation of Israel often forgot that although the law had been given to them to ensure civil living and to lead them to repentance, relationships were always the most important to God, the spirit of the law as opposed to the letter of the law. When Jesus lived on earth, he encountered and confronted this widespread religiosity himself. As we live as followers of Jesus every day as a community, we desire to be marked by sacrificial living. We can be a prophetic voice in a neighborhood marked by wealth and abundance. Our faith community, Urban Journey, like our neighborhood, has a mix of people. Those with wealth, poor students, we have many of those, even poor refugees. We are nurturing a community that shares generously with one another and with those in need around us. And this goes beyond giving money. It entails sacrificing time, possessions, giving of the heart to one another. Although we are a fledgling church, we decided that international missions, as well as serving on the downtown east side and in areas of need in Vancouver, is critical right from the beginning. So we've already been working to take our first team down to Haiti this May. Now this trip was in place before the earthquake of this week. And we had already begun to put a team together, and we're working with some partners, an orphanage and a school, and also MCC Haiti down there. We're planning to go in May. With the earthquake happening this week, it's just broken our hearts, first of all, because when you start thinking about going to a place, we have a few nurses on our team and some students and Regent students as well as UBC students, and we, along with all of you, are heartbroken with what is going on in the nation of Haiti. We still plan to go. May 2nd is when we're heading down there. It may be that we take a larger team. We may have some reconstruction pieces of what we're doing as well. But what this opportunity has done for us is that it's enabled us to go beyond just the team and just beyond Urban Journey, but to invite our entire neighborhood to be a part of this with us. People around us are just really want to be a part of what's going on and give in some way. And so we have our kids' schools. The whole schools are helping in raising funds and also raising specific items that our team will take down with us when we go. And God, I don't know how that worked, the timing of us planning to go and this happening, but we're both excited and in sorrow this week as we look forward to heading down to Haiti in May. But the devastating earthquake that took place has been an opportunity to include many friends and neighbors in this endeavor. The last two core values that we have are unique design, everyone valued, and share the hope story. We desire to be a community that celebrates everyone's unique personality, ability, and calling, and to equally value all, despite age, race, and gender. Lastly, we're called to share the hope story with those around us, speaking about and living out the love of Jesus. This world desperately needs hope, which we sang about this morning. Let's go back for a moment to Micah 6:8, and I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase here. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. These words were spoken more than 700 years before Jesus walked on this earth as a human. From the beginning of the story of humanity and God, we see this as the desire of our Creator for us. And in Jesus, we see and hear it again and again. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. What will this look like in this generation? What does this look like today? What kind of posture do we take with one another and with those around us? Will the church of today get beyond its own systems of godliness, its burnt offerings? Do we believe with the Pharisee who was on the right track, to love him with all your heart and all your understanding and all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, these are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Imagine a Pharisee understanding that. This community here has much to be thankful for as you look at God's faithfulness in the past. Since we are in the midst of the beginnings of Urban Journey, I can imagine how exciting and risky those first years felt for you here. As we all enter into the coming years together, how is God calling us to uniquely answer his call to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? What is on the horizon? Even today, how can we answer this simple yet profound call? Let's pray together. Lord, we've already prayed and want to pray again for the people of Haiti. We offer just a moment of silence and reflection in our hearts, Lord, that you would be the God of comfort, that your presence would be felt in that place, that you would be the God that rescues and provides. Lord Jesus, we pray that same prayer for those in our neighborhoods right here in Point Grey, Dunbar, UBC, Lord, that you would be the God of comfort. You would be a God who saves. You would be a God who provides. Father, for the students that live here in the center, for the thousands of students on the UBC campus just moments away, God, we pray that you would be that God that provides, that comforts, that saves, Lord. And Jesus, we offer both of our faith communities into your hands, Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship and the people that are in the midst there, and Urban Journey. Lord, we offer these expressions of your heart back to you, We pray, Lord, that you would help us to find the unique way that you are calling us to love you and to love our neighbor, to act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with you. Lord, speak uniquely, speak clearly to our communities, God. And Lord, in our own hearts, in our families, Lord, personally, I ask this morning that you would speak gently, speak clearly. Lord, as you call us to live out your heart for this nation, for this world, for the people around us, God, that you would speak clearly to us about what that looks like in our own life, in our own week, and the own hours of our day, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness, for your spirit. Amen.